Podcast to the Delling Pod with me, James Delling. And I know I always sound excited about this week's guest. And that's a clue. You know who it is because there's only one guest. It's Dick. Dick.
Hello, brother. And hello, massive audience globally.
Yeah, massive audience. Blimey. I can't see any figures about who, but I imagine it's just enormous.
Probably in the millions.
Dick, that t-shirt you're wearing is fantastic. Where can I get one?
Well, I'm glad you asked, James, because these are hot off the press. An affiliated South Welsh t-shirt printers, because Noah had that trouble with the previous merch where they banned us because we were too controversial. Well, I found via the Third Wednesday Network, a sympathetic printers in South Wales, and they've done a wonderful job. And I've got 80 of these that we will be selling for the first time at your live show.
Like
Sharkling t-shirts.
That's going to... They will... Look, according to my Telegram channel, there's over 6,000 Sharklings. So they're going to sell out. They're going to sell out like...
They can be first kids on the block to have them. But yeah, this is just as many as I could get done in the limited time available before the show. So it was we're up against time. There will be more to come. There'll be more designs. There'll be more colors. But these are the first and the best because they're on this nice gray. And I think it's kind of understated, isn't it? You know, it doesn't.
I mean. No, I think it's good. But do you think it would be an act of cruelty to keep that? What's the technical term? Is it a colorway? I was in the rag trade, would I be talking about a colorway?
Possibly, anyway, yeah. Sounds quite graphic design.
It's like I'd use phrases like price point, wouldn't I? I'm not going to use price point this time. I'm going to use colorway. Do you think it would be an act of cruelty to keep only 80 t-shirts in that colorway and have
and make them limited edition? Yeah, possibly.
Or would that be cruel? I don't know.
We'll see how well they go.
The cut looks good.
It's a quality item. It's a quality item.
Yeah.
As all our merch will be.
Well, quite. We like. So have we got any? We haven't got any other merch, have we? Apart from we've got obviously special friend badges.
I'm bringing the special friend badges. I'm bringing these. I mean, this is quite a bulk as well. It's quite a lot to carry. So we've got to bear that in mind. If we're going to become a traveling shop, then someone's got to do the lugging. Anyway, they will be there at the show. Lots of different sizes and cuts, and just a little taste of merch to come. Very exciting.
Do you know what? I would be really happy if this were possible, Dick. I would be really happy if never, ever, ever again in my life I had to listen to the bling of an incoming something or other. I spend probably half a day every day searching my computer to try and find the device where you switch off all the kind of, they're called notifications. Mm-hmm. And what I find is that
notifications are horrible.
Yeah. I never want to hear a notification. I don't care. There is nothing so important. There is no piece of electronic communication that justifies, in my view, having a ping, an intrusive ping telling me it's arrived. I can wait.
Yeah, but you know the thing, once you've finally worked out how to turn off all your notifications, you then have to put up with a week's worth of, I texted you that your dinner was ready or that your dental appointment was about to be missed or that the car needed picking up from there. All of these things, and they all would have come through as notifications. So it's kind of like you want a magic button that says, only tell me about the shit that I'm interested in or the really important stuff, because everything else is just meh. Anyway. Yeah, I feel your pain.
It says Restream IO. Why is not a single message from audience displaying here? Does that mean no one's listening, or does that mean that we haven't?
I don't know what platform we're on. I don't know how this is going out. I don't know whether it's live or pre-recorded. This is your thing. You and your very clued up assistant Ben, who does seem to be an all round genius.
I know. So, Ben is. I feel. Ben is actually producing the show, and Ben actually is. Ben is way more Christian than we are. He makes us look like basically Satanists. Ben is so Christian. he won't even drink tea or coffee. No, but he's true. Because Ben is a Mormon, he doesn't drink tea or coffee, and he's just amazingly pure. I mean, he's a kind of model, and he's got total integrity, and he's a genius. And I feel guilty about making him work on a Sunday. I mean, I don't know what the deal is about if you're a Mormon. You're probably not meant to do work on Sunday. I'll ask Ben afterwards. But anyway, thank you, Ben.
Yeah,
I really appreciate
corrupting Christians. That's not very good, brother. That's all kinds of wrong.
Oh, Dick. Have you listened to my new podcast yet?
No, because this was going to be one of the topics.
Terry Boardman.
We often cover how wonderful your previous podcasts are, and I've only just watched James Corbett, so that's how far behind I am. Now, sometimes when I'm at work, I can listen to your stuff.
You really
other
are.
Times, it's rude to put your headphones on and ignore the other people in the room. So that's the state I've been in lately, and I'm way, way behind. Way behind, too, on your London calling. So and way behind on my irreverence and all the other things I like to listen to. So, yeah, sorry about that. But you'll have to clue me up as to... what's been going on?
Well, it's not gonna be much use me talking about the podcast you haven't listened to, so maybe we'll have to save that.
Well, you can in a way you can say that so and so is amazing and he has a really good line on XYZ.
But my two recent ones, Zuby, mm-hmm. who I've been trying to get Zuby on and off for 3 years. I mean, like, when I first tried to get Zuby, it was before we went down the rabbit hole. So mm-hmm. it would have been the Normie podcast had I done it back then. We'd have talked. I can't remember what Normies talk about anymore. It's as if it's. Do you not find that it's like another life? It's a past life that one can't understand.
This is why I know I keep harking on about Third Wednesday, but this is why when you turn up to a Third Wednesday, you don't have to cut through the crap of, you know, sounding people out on their views on things. They know that they're not normies, and it is terribly difficult to talk to normies. You find yourself in the most bland of small talk, and it's just so inconsequential.
I'm just sorry to mention this, but when you speak, it's like having a Dalek in the background. You know, every time there's feedback and crackle, and I don't know whether this is a restream thing or whether everyone else is getting it or not. I just want to. Mm.
I would worry because I'm also.
Is an adjustment you can make on your microphone? Will that make no difference?
I can click on settings here and go audio. I'm on default at the moment. I've got noise suppression on and I've got echo cancellation on. So I would guess going with the default is probably the best.
Default is. Have you not got a microphone?
No. Only the one in my...
That you use.
This.
That's crap.
Yeah. It served me fine till now.
Here, I can talk. Somebody called Anthony Mitchell saying can't find live stream. I don't know how to send him. This is the problem about these new ventures, isn't it? We just haven't a clue what's going on.
Also, the tech is moving so fast that every other week there's a new way of doing this.
Yeah, but this is what... hang on, I was going to put Ben. Is anyone listening?
Well, no, he says about 100 people watching currently. Sorry, 100 people, for putting you through
this. Okay.
And haven't you got anything better to be doing on a Sunday?
I know. You know what I had? So in order to get back in time for, because I knew you'd bollock. I knew if I said, Dick, can we move it to 5:30? You'd have been cross because you do this.
I was going to ask you to move it forward. So yeah, that would have caused meltdown. For me and my
exactly because you do a weird thing, don't you? Where you've got this weird tradition where you cook your Sunday. What do you call it? Dinner.
I suppose I do call it dinner. I've never been quite sure what's the correct word. Well, no, because
you do this weird thing. I don't know where it came from. Where you eat your Sunday dinner at
about 5, about 5 or 6,
And you have a kind of roast, a sort of vegan nut roast.
Well, I've got a prime minister pie.
So I said,
you outing me,
and you don't have breakfast.
Big fried breakfast.
There. Yeah. Did you hear that?
What?
Did you hear the notification?
No.
No. There was a notification. I hate it.
No, I didn't get it. It's just you.
Apart from anything else, I hate the person, and it's so wrong. I know, among other things.
It's not their fault.
But I hate the person who's. It's not their fault, but we know now we're down the rabbit hole that all technology is there to destroy us, to weaken us, to control us and punish us and to sap our will to live. And it's very effective, I must say. It's really working on me.
No, they've done a bang up job on that one, definitely.
So, yeah.
Anyway, shall we talk about
from outing your weird dietary habits? Tell me. Yeah, talk about what you want. I can freewheel, Dick. I can ad lib.
Yeah. we should definitely talk majorly about what
you're going to be doing. Can I tell you something? I don't prepare for my podcast.
No, it doesn't show at all. Well, and on the other hand, I do, and I've got notes.
So, good.
About 10 minutes.
I will just tell you about what I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. This time last week, I will confess, I was absolutely shitting. I had a really horrible, horrible week. And it became really upsetting me. Do you know how? The upsetting thing that happened to me, which contributed to my sad mood, which has haunted me all week.
Go on.
Did I tell you about the jackdaw?
No.
So there were these jackdaws that come down our chimney, as jackdaws do. They find their way down, and even though we had the chimney blocked supposedly, but not well done, Lee. The jackdaws make their way down the chimney into the sitting room, and I went in there, and there was a jackdaw flapping around like desperately trying to get out. And so into the room, to the sort of the far side of the room, in order to give the jackdaw a clear way through the door and out into the garden. But instead, the jackdaw decided to fly really fast and hard into the walls and into the shutters and into the windows. Mm-hmm. And it was blood everywhere.
Oh, no.
And it knocked itself out, and I thought, well, that's good. At least I can pick it up now and release it. And I cradled it in my hands and stroked its feathers, and I could see its sort of eye. It was sort of black with a sort of white dot in the middle. It was kind of odd. You don't normally get that close up to. Its tongue was doing something weird. It had a sort of articulated tongue, and it was just moving backward. I thought, this doesn't look good. And anyway, it died in my hands, and I was really upset about it. I mean, I suppose it's an odd thing to feel, given that I shoot birds, but I shoot them to eat them. And I don't like seeing a bird kind of accidentally commit suicide. And I wanted that jackdaw to live, and it didn't. So that kind of made me sad. But the other thing was, what I kind of hadn't realised about organising an event like this, or rather getting getting Ben to organize an event like this is that even when you've got Ben there, it's much, much harder than you think. You think, oh, sod it, the seats are going to sell themselves. You know, everyone's going to want to come because they're Sharklings and it's going to be great. And who in their right minds would not want to come?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it doesn't work like that because people have got things to do. I mean, you know, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh may be weak. That they may have, they may be. It's a bank holiday weekend. They may be going somewhere else. They may not want to go to London, which I can totally understand, or whatever. Any number of reasons, and you've really got to promote the hell out of these events. You've got to, you know, you've got to be much more together than I'm capable of, and even when you've got Ben doing it, it's still. So I was starting to panic. I was thinking, what if, you know, people aren't going to come, people aren't going to be buying tickets anyway. And also I think the other thing that happens is that people kind of, you know, people are quite fickle and they sit on the fence, like, is it going to be a washout or is it going to be a great success? And they sort of hold back until they, you know, because they don't, no one wants to be associated with failure, even if they're just a kind of anyway, we've now reached the point where my fear has gone, where actually it's mm-hmm. going to be a great set. We're going to have a very good crowd. Yeah, haven't sold out yet, but it's got past the stage of buy a ticket because you love James and you feel sorry for him and you kind of want to see, you know, you mm-hmm. and it's got to the stage where you'd be mad to miss out because everyone's going to be there. I mean, lots of the sort of the sleb element of our Sharkling crowd, you know, I think the Freds are coming. I think
oh, fantastic.
You know, Loz is going to be there, and it's kind of like that's the sign that it's going to be a hit, which I'm really excited about, obviously. Because mm-hmm. well, even though course, I can always in fake London, it, you know, I can always pretend.
The London element, it's tricky for the likes of us who no longer live in London, but you forget how useful it is for those who do, which is, you know, quite a big percentage of our following. So yeah, it's going to be a big thing for me to come. I hate coming down to London these days, but
and you know what, you and I are probably going to share a hotel room, aren't mm-hmm. we? I think.
Well, I hope you've organised something. Otherwise, we're on the street. Neither, but at least I've never been bothered by them.
Because there was a terrible there was a terrible incident once when I went. I've been to Dublin twice to do speaker events. So I don't think they invite mm-hmm. me back now. And actually, in a way, it's sensible because Dublin is so completely over. Have you? When did you last go to Dublin?
Oh gosh, it's got to be 20 years at least. It was when I was at art college.
Yeah. Okay. So you saw Dublin when it was Irish, mm-hmm. and when it was still into its Irish traditions, and it wasn't embarrassed.
When I hung out with the Hells Angels,
heritage and so on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Yes. Well, that's a thing you can do, I suppose, if you're in Dublin. But it's become this generic Euro town. I mean, did you see that video of the person of presumably African extraction wandering naked down O'Connell Street? I mean, this is the kind of stuff they have to put up with now. It's really bad. It's being used as a sort of experiment for the clergy plan. Or a testing ground for the clergy plan. The kind of complete eradication, not the eradication, but the extreme dilution of the native population with immigrants. And it's like, we don't consider you Ireland. You are just this island on which we are going to dump the world's populace, and it's like it's going to be a melting pot whether you like it or not, and fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening in Ireland. Why am I telling you this? Oh yes, that's right. So I had a great time, you know, because the original Dubliners are still lovely, and I like the Irish, they're entertaining, the crack and all that. And so I had a few Guinnesses, and you know Irish Guinness. I mean, you know how lethal it is when you have five pints. I mean, it's not like having English Guinness, it's just
Five is
because they put
unthinkable to
the
me.
ration
I
in, don't
just
they? Okay. So I had 5 pints of Guinness, and as happens, my bottom fell out. And unfortunately, I was sharing a room with your nephew. And again, he's been on this thing sometime. And he says, and I believe him, it was the worst night of his life. I was farting constantly, and it was just awful. It's like really bad. I mean, I think he's going to be so traumatized by experiences that I've inflicted on, because you remember the other experience where Grandpa, our father, where I gave him some hash chocolate to try,
Yes,
and
yes.
even though he had only half a
You nearly
square, we only
killed
had half a
Grandpa.
square each, we were both about as stoned as I'd ever been, and he was persuading himself that he wasn't stoned, and I could see that he was, and it was stealth stoned. You know, 1 minute you think you're normal, and then suddenly you are absolutely wankered, and we were. The wife drove us, suggested we went outside to walk the dog, thinking it would clear our heads, but it didn't work. He just collapsed, giggling on the grass outside, and we had to go and get Boy to go and I had to rush into the house and say, "Boy, your grandfather's outside, and he's off his face on dope." And I think I said to him at the time, "Things that you are not meant to see as a young man, and one of them is your grandfather off his face on weed, collapsed on the ground, and you're having to drag him into the house. It's just not, it's traumatizing, isn't it?" But I guess that's
Yeah,
kind of
no,
what we
it's
did from
not,
telling him
certainly
off.
not something you'll ever have to see, but it's something you yeah, passes into family legend, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Hey, by the
I
way,
don't know
I'm
why I'm
currently
telling people
moving
this stuff.
because my screen, I'm showing a still picture taken some time ago.
Oh, I can see you
Ben assures
moving.
me that I'm okay, right.
The picture of me is just I has got my eyes closed. It's
No,
like,
well,
you know,
okay, we're
I've
in the
just
same boat
had a
then.
heart attack.
As long as people see us moving, and because I'm not seeing myself moving at the moment, but I assure you, viewers and listeners, that I am. Back to your worried about selling your tickets thing, and can I just
Oh,
tell you
yeah.
about my 3 weeks around your
Tell
show?
us both of them, Dick.
One of them was Yuri Bezmenov's
You're the only person
Ghost,
who'll get
yeah?
that, by the way.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
it's a Python
Yeah.
thing. Yuri Bezmenov's Ghost. He you know, you've met him. He's a friend IRL, and he's put on a party, a similar sort of thing, and he's got all guests of, you know, all our regular friends, and this thing is on the 14th of May. And he's hired a hotel and a conference center and all of this stuff. And he went through everything that you were describing, the sort of like, oh my God, I've committed this thing. It's going to cost me a fortune. Is anyone going to come? Now, he's not even a particularly big name, but he, over the weeks of pushing it and talking about it and bigging it up and getting that all important momentum where people start talking about going and saying,
The
yeah, I'm going to go to
momentum.
this, I'm buying tickets. That then you're in the clear. You hit that point, the sweet spot where you've broken even, and then from then on, it's all, well, not plain sailing, but it's a really important break point. And you stop worrying about I'm having a party and no one's coming. What was I thinking? To this is a brilliant idea. It's
Yes.
going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
Yes.
So
It's
I can't
absolutely.
go to
It's
your
about
show,
finding the
unfortunately, now.
fair point.
Yeah. But what I have got, I've got Irreverend doing the same thing in a week or so's time. So I'm down to hang out with Jamie Franklin and the gang in Spitalfields. I think their show has now sold out, but I'm a guest on their show for to talk about Thursday Circle, which is going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to going down to that.
I didn't even know about Jamie's show, but I'm glad he's doing it. I mean,
No, it's a good
heaven
move on his
knows
part. I
as
mean, he's incredibly popular now. You still there?
Well, also, I think it's really important because, yeah, I'm here. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We're not getting any.
Tommy, yes, can you hear me?
More obscure references.
Well, not that still, and there's a clue in the name. Now, what was I going to say to you? I was going to say
about Jamie. Jamie Franklin.
I like the idea of Jamie. I hope he makes money out of it because, my goodness, the Church of England clerics. He's not even a vicar yet, is he? Mm-hmm. If they ever want, they get paid so badly, and. I suppose there would have been a time where I thought, well, it serves you right for kind of choosing this dead end career. Whereas now I think that actually it's a really, I wouldn't mind actually, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, I quite like being a vicar.
I've been through this lately as well.
I'd love to be a vicar, an orthodox,
all that stuff. I don't want to go through the training and I don't want to be attached to a church. But I'd like to wear the kit and go around and be holy obviously. And bless people.
The thing is, Dick,
We'd
be really good at it. We'd be obviously it would have to be a rural parish. I couldn't be doing with a... Can you imagine the ghastliness of having to do an inner city... I quite like that series with, Tom Hollander and stuff, and, have sort of eccentric kind of people coming into your church and all that. But I think the country needs us. And I would like, obviously, we would have a service where we bless the hunt every year. And there would be, you don't have a meet on a Sunday, but obviously I would be a hunting parson, like something out of Trollope. And that would be really good, wouldn't it?
Our friend Richard, Father Richard, went into his local pub the other day to remonstrate with them gently about the fact that on their board outside the pub they had advertised an event for Easter Friday, and he went in to gently take the piss out of them for not calling it Good Friday. And whilst in the pub, he must have been in his clerical gear or something like that. It must have been straight after a service. But he was accosted by some newcomers to the village who were in the pub, who wanted to know all about the church. And he ended up having to bless the pub for all the people in there. Now, this is the fun you can have if you're a recognisable vicar. In places where you're not expected to be. And I think there's a lot of mileage in getting the church out of the church. And this is why things like podcast live version of Irreverend will be an absolute hit, because people are put off the church. They, and quite rightly so, they don't want Black Lives Matter and doing your hands as you go in and face masks and, even communion now, they've done away with the blood of Christ. It's just body of Christ. No, the whole thing is so heavily compromised.
I had the soggy wafer of Christ. So you the wafer dipped in the... It's not the same. In fact,
is that how they're getting around it?
Exactly how they're getting around it. The blood, body of Christ, the blood of Christ. You now get the body and blood of Christ. I mean, what kind of formula is that? I always used to like the fact in our church we've got this 17th century communion cup, silver, and mm-hmm. you're thinking as you sip from it, you're thinking, wow, this people have been taking communion with this cup for do the maths for me, 4 centuries, how amazing is that? And also, I always like the thing about, I'm sharing the spittle and this. If we don't believe in terrain theory, I'm sharing all the germs of people, and I don't care because this is part of the experience, and it's cool. And now all that's gone out of the window, And it's like...
All in a matter of weeks. They've overturned centuries of no one actually dying from taking Holy Communion to if you don't sanitize your hands on the way in, and if you don't keep your distance from the rest of the congregation, and, you know, you mustn't take communion. It, all in a matter of weeks. And this is why we don't like the church, because they were so ready to fold on all of these issues, and they didn't put up the remotest hint of a fight. And this is why the church needs to move out of the church and then go back and reclaim it one day. And that will be a wonderful day.
Well,
when we have our church
back.
I think
we've talked about this before, haven't we? That what we're doing is going back to the days of the early church.
So mm-hmm.
as it was meant to be, probably.
And it's no bad thing. It's back to grassroots.
This is one of the things I was talking to my most recent podcast guest, Terry Boardman, about that I'm keen to be a good Christian, but I can't really work out quite what the deal is. Because, okay, so you'd think the answer would be to go and ask a priest, you know, or because he'll know, it's his job. But actually, you think about what we've learned about the medical establishment in the last last 2 years. We've realized that doctors have not a clue. They are just pill dispensing machines in the service of Big Pharma. They cannot think for themselves. The information they are giving, they've been given and have imbibed and take totally on trust, is essentially satanic propaganda from an industry, you know, from the Rockefellers, you know, and Rockefeller was a servant of the devil. So everything about the medical industry is just corrupt. It does the opposite of what it's supposed to do. We're fed poison by the food industry. We are poisoned by the pharmaceutical industry. Our doctors prescribe this shit, which is not good for us, which actually makes us worse. So that's just one example of the, you know, politicians, they are just corrupt, self-serving, and they're not interested. They're not our representatives at all. They're just scum, basically. And so on it goes. And you think the kind of people that are drawn to being into the Church of England these days, I mean, Jamie Franklin is a very rare exception. Most of them are kind of transgender people who think God is kind of optional. And you see where I'm going with this.
Calvin Robinson is getting a lot of grief. Have you read about that?
Yeah.
He is the only
what
one.
What the church needs
is
Archbishop Calvin.
Who isn't being... Yeah. It bloody does.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if the good people who we know would do a fantastic job as clergymen, they are being held back because one of the things they said about Calvin, he doesn't believe that there's systemic racism within the Church of England or something like that. And we're talking about effectively a person of colour, as they like to call them. Beggars belief. It's beyond parody.
When he gets to the pearly gates, and St. Peter checks in his book, he says, Calvin Robinson, you did not believe in systemic racism. You are going straight to hell. But I'm black. Doesn't matter. Satan will unspool your guts on a wheel. Yeah, that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be poor yeah. Calvin. Because he didn't believe in systemic racism.
Yeah, I know.
It's So even though I said I wouldn't talk about it, you haven't listened to it. One of the things I talked about, this guy, Terry Boardman, he was recommended to me by Alex Thompson. And Terry is really bright and really kind of schooled in manner of mystical stuff and is familiar with the history of the church. And he told me, for example, we go on to the subject of reincarnation. And as you know, our friend Jonathan Miles Lee, who was a Christian, nevertheless remembered at least one of his previous lives and was absolutely convinced he was a child who died at the age of 11, I think, in in South India, and remembered the sheets that he slept under, and remembered his mother's sari and all that. And I was thinking, well,
Yep, I
how do you
remember him telling that.
reconcile this stuff with Christianity, which you know you don't hear much about reincarnation, do you? But Terry told me that this goes back to at least the 9th century, when the kind of the church elders met in somewhere or other to decide which elements of dogma were acceptable and which were unacceptable. And a lot of the stuff that might have been understood by people in the early church were kind of written out for political reasons later on. And it was all to do with control. I mean, one of the obvious reasons that the Catholic Church particularly wanted to knock the idea of reincarnation on the head is because they want people to believe there's only one life, and if they get it wrong, they are toast and toast for the devil, and therefore you must live a really good life and you must do what you're told and so on. So you see where I'm going with this. It's very, very hard to work out what is the truth. I mean, lots of
And
people
then
who go to church
what is settled
don't.
and what you are allowed to argue about, because every faith, I mean, the Jews are really big on this, aren't they? They love debating minute elements of what they're supposed to believe in and what is doctrine and what is not and what is still open to debate. They do it a heck of a lot, and it's all the better for it to know that you haven't got all the answers written down. Because again, talking to Richard about this, he said that even, and this is probably heretical, but even the Bible was only what they assembled at the time, and stuff that has been discovered since, like in the Dead Sea Scrolls, could well have ended up being part of it. So it's kind of like, I know the
Oh,
Bible is meant
yeah.
to be the be all and end all, but it's kind of not.
Oh, but is it? Well, I think it's not. I mean, because people talk about the books that explain a lot that were missed out. I mean, actually, we've got to be careful here because neither of us really has a clue what we're talking about.
No,
It would almost be
but
better
the fact that
to get another
we know
guest.
that we're straying into dangerous territory, and this still can be discussed. But I'm quite happy to be put straight on the things that are absolutely verboten, and those that are still open for conversation. One of them being purgatory, for instance. I mean, are the Catholics right,
Yes, that's a
or
good one.
so? It is still there, and you can talk about it, which is good.
I don't believe in purgatory, do you?
Well, the argument for it should be that what if you just missed out on heaven, or what if you just scraped into heaven?
Yeah,
You
you didn't
wouldn't
get the
want,
grades. You just flunked one of the papers.
like going to
Yeah.
Durham. But it's that's one for your
Oh,
boy and girl.
well, I don't, I think being rejected by Oxford now or Cambridge is about a badge of honor, isn't it?
No, absolutely.
Oh,
I would
blimey.
hate for my kids to have gone there. Yeah.
Cambridge University Conservative Association has invited me to speak. Do I say yes or not? I mean, I'm not even a conservative anymore. And I've been shat on by students so many times.
Well, you're
What do they?
clearly there as a figure of hate, but as long as you go there with your eyes open and you know that you're gonna have to gird your loins, it's
Yes.
you'll probably enjoy it, but just don't go under any illusion that it's gonna be a like it used to
A
be when you
what? You
talk at
mean
these places.
go along for a miserable experience, you mean?
No, but you won't have a miserable experience if you
You
expect
see,
one, will you?
well, I suppose so. If we could read the messages that everyone's writing, which obviously they're not writing, but presumably because there's a sort of thing, we could have people saying, "Yes, go, James," or no, James, don't go." Oh, tell you what, you must not go and see, Dick.
What mustn't I go and
Tell you what's
see?
not go and see. The Northman.
Oh, really?
You know
That
about the
looked good.
Northman?
Well, I've seen trailers for it.
Yeah, look good. I can, yeah, exactly. It's the kind of thing that looks really good on the trailers because you see lots of people being disemboweled in
Beheaded
authentic.
and
The
swords
one
and
thing, yeah.
hot chicks in leather.
Okay. So there's some things it's got going for it. One is no diversity casting.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. I mean, there is, because you know these days that in order to get an Oscar or an Academy Award, that there's got to be a certain percentage of black, disabled lesbians on the production team
Which
and
is
in the
great when they're
cast. So you get
Vikings.
this. It's just so annoying. It really is. How many black Vikings were there? I think probably you could. No, I mean you could on a sawmiller's hand, could you?
No.
So it didn't do that, which I thought was to its credit. But that was basically it. It's just like 2 hours of misery and just. I mean, you feel for what it would have been like living in the 9th century, and it would have been shit, basically. Just like either you were a killer or you were a slave. I don't think there were really many options in between. It couldn't be like, I want to be a painter. I want to express myself artistically. No, you just it wouldn't happen. Okay, maybe I suppose maybe you could become a monk, but then if you became a monk, you'd end up being probably
Slaughtered by
spread eagle,
Vikings
wouldn't you,
on
by Vikings that come
Lindisfarne.
to nick all your to nick your communion cup. Yeah, exactly. So I'm except have you thought about this, Dick? But about which we've all been there in our ancestors. I mean, somewhere down the line, I was talking to this about to the forum the other day, that we're descended from people who have actually participated in a shield war, aren't we?
Wow,
It's
that's a good thought.
impossible that. Have you thought about that?
No, I hadn't thought
So
about that.
I wonder.
That's quite a
Well, okay. So here's the
specific
thing.
thing
So
to go
this
back
is
to, isn't
continuing
it?
my reincarnation thing. So you know how one gets like you and I are or have been obsessed with what it was like, to fight in a battle, and we imagine scenarios where we got eaten by a shark or a crocodile or I don't know, all manner of stuff. But somewhere down the line, people in our past have experienced these things. And I wonder whether somehow this stuff filters into our own consciousness. This is actually what we've lived already. What do you think?
Which would explain why we've got such an obsession for something that it is effectively irrelevant to our lives. I mean, my obviously you can see all the stuff behind me. It's an unhealthy obsession with war. But go back just a few generations. As you say, we'd have been in a shield war. We'll have been under musket fire in the Napoleonic Wars. We've been through it all.
Yeah.
It's a very good theory.
Do you think we'd have been nuns? We wouldn't have had any children, so we wouldn't be descended. How could you be descended from a nun? Unless perhaps she was raped by Vikings and
Well, and
she
also
missed
there's,
her, she decided to keep the child.
I mean, we don't know enough about the life of nuns and how they ended up as nuns and what they got up to, do we? So, who knows?
No, we do. Yeah, no, Dick, come on. I provided you with the answer then. That's nuns are supposed to be virginal, but if they got raped by a Viking and had the child, then that's how we'd be descended from them. Anyway, look, Edward the Third. You know, we're all descended from Edward the Third, don't you?
What, all of us?
All of us, yes. I mean, well, I mean, I imagine that probably Chinese people are not descended from Edward the Third, but generally everyone, pretty much everyone of sort of white English American
Anglo-Saxon.
heritage is almost Anglo, whatever, is almost certainly descended from Edward the Third. And this is not because we're all this is well, it's a simple fact of, if you go far enough back in history, we're all descended from everyone. I mean, you know, there's obviously the Genghis Khan thing. I mean, Genghis Khan raped so many people that everyone's descended from Genghis Khan, I think. But I think the same applies. I can't remember what Edward III's dates are, but he's far enough back for us.
So we've all got a piece of him. So right.
If you get... Yeah. So, and Edward III wasn't that far back, was he? I mean, what are we talking? I know all my kings and queens dates, but under the pressure of a podcast, I can't remember when it is. But so Edward III. So that means we're probably all descended from everyone before that. So we'll be descended from William and from Harold and from, you know, and probably from Babylonian kings and obviously
1327 until 1377.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, in Chronicles, is this where I've got to in the Old Testament, about David's mighty men. And so David had these really good warriors fighting for him. And it's possible they were giants. I'm not sure. It's not totally clear what mighty men were, but they get named and listed. And he's got, you know, what they achieve prodigious things in battles. And I was reading this stuff, and it's just like blah de blah, you know, Michalok, son of blah de blah, the Weirdyite, or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm making up these names.
Mm-hmm. But they're I can tell
in the Bible, but you get the full gamut of strange names.
Yeah.
And I was tempted to skip over, and I was thinking, well, hang on a second, don't skip over these names, because these were real people. They didn't just make up these names. These actually existed one day, and they did amazing things. And one of them could be your ancestor. I mean, maybe not if they were giants. What do you think? Do you think could we be descended from the mighty men of David?
Presumably, Goliath was...
I don't expect you to give me a definitive answer.
A mighty man.
Yes, he was. He was a giant. The thing is,
yeah.
So you know about...
I know about the giant thing.
There were loads of giants in the past.
Thing. Yeah. And the Smithsonian hid the skeletons. Yeah.
Because this is, it's like, one of the reasons I don't want to get offed by the cabal is because I rather feel that I've got so much to unlearn, so much false history to unlearn, and so much real history to find out about, like the giants. That's an obvious one. Like who really runs the world, you know, where the power really lies, and obviously how we win this one. How do we win? I mean, apart from obviously God helping us, you know, making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe well, that's the, these are. Maybe that's just the answer. We just like kind of let God deal with it.
You don't just let him though, do you? You've got to be there doing the right things, ready for him to help you. You can't just sit back and wait for the help.
I don't know.
We've got to be out there fighting.
I don't know. No. Well, that you see, I'm not sure because I've learned Proverbs 3, and it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And yeah, all right, do that, and maybe that's it, you know, just like sorted. So in other words, don't think too much. Just kind of, I mean, it might work. It's
a thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Yeah.
Have you finished it?
I'm halfway through. I try to get another line in every few days, and I recite them to myself as I'm doing my exercises and what have you. I do this thing when I'm on my back and I have to lift my legs. Yeah, you know that exercise, lifting your feet straight. I try to do that for the time it takes me to do what I know so far from Psalm 91, and it's it's an funny, incentive to get through it.
How one incorporates these things into one's exercise routine, you know. I mean, there's another psalm that I use for my cold shower. So I have a cold shower for the length of that psalm, and I do them on my.
But I don't want to make myself. I don't want to make myself hate them by doing unpleasant things while I'm reciting them. So I try to keep it. Well, you don't end up hating them.
No. I think because they're literature and they're sort of they're powerful incantations that and they protect you. I think the other thing that bothers me is am I disrespecting them? But actually,
I thought crossed my mind.
You know, exorcists and people say that. This sounds like one of those pub conversations. I heard that right. This exorcist.
I reckon right.
What they say is that I reckon right. But apparently, I've heard that it doesn't matter whether you are sincere and mindful when you say your prayers, whether you're just saying the words, but they still have power.
Well, your mate Gavin Ashenden says this, doesn't he? He says you can race through the Lord's Prayer, you can linger on every word and make it last half an hour. It's all much of a muchness. And, funnily enough, I feel different each time I say these things to myself. You always come out feeling slightly different at the end of it. And but that's enough for me. There is definitely magic in those words. And just by reciting them, you come out feeling better and different and transformed slightly. So, you know, whatever is going on, it's working for sure.
It is, isn't it? It's really good. It is like magic, but it's not magic because it is.
We're not supposed to call it magic. That's something I've learned. It's holy magic, which is a different thing. But to the normies, to explain it, it's too useful a word to ignore. The word magic. It explains it to normies, but I know technically that's not what we're talking about.
No, although what it makes you realise is that, like. Everything is binary, isn't it? The everything has its opposite, and so, you know, good and evil, God and Satan or whatever. If holy stuff works, which it does, that must mean that dark magic works too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is you can see the attraction for the followers of the other side. I mean, if they do sacrifice children and stuff, they will get stuff that they want happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
the
what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say
you weren't gonna say you're about to sacrifice a child, were you?
No. Okay, it was so a bit of a tangent, and I you mentioned Alex Thompson, and wasn't it lovely that thing he said about using Lord as my shepherd to measure land in the early settlers in Canada?
That's
is that right?
Right.
The Psalm 26 was the time
that's
it takes
right,
them to.
Yeah.
So 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they'd measure out that part of land by saying that. So yeah. Our forebears have used these things as in the same way that we are, as a way of measuring time, knowing that it takes a certain amount of time to recite. Alex Thompson fills me with a lot of joy because he's such an intelligent guy.
Yes, no, he's really good. We could do a show with him every week. I mean, there's quite a few guests like that we could do a show with every week. Even
but he's
you,
one of those
Jack,
people that reassures me. Yeah, but that would be lovely, wouldn't it? That he's one of those guys that when I have my doubts about faith, which, you know, we all do sometimes, you think, well, if someone as intelligent as Alex Thompson is a committed Christian, then, you know, it kind of gives you reassurance that you're on the right side. And there's many more, you know, like him that are of equal stature that make you think, yeah, you know, we're onto something here. Just a thought.
Yeah, yeah. I think I said I was going to do just an hour. We probably just do an hour.
Your little
nut
and
roast.
Often. Yeah.
Is it a nut roast? Is it a nut roast?
It's a corn roast. The other two are having, and I'm having a Pie Minister Moo Blue pie to myself. So I am getting my meat content, and it's going to be lovely.
You've got to do that.
And Yorkshire pudding and gravy and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be nice.
Yeah, that's bad, Dick. That's bad stuff.
I know, but it's
got
also
refined,
good.
Refined flour and.
I know.
I think we'd just be eating meat all the time.
We've got friends who do, and who swear by it.
I'll see you. I'm going to see
you. We'll talk another time about arrangements for Friday. Yeah, we've got to make arrangements.
And I'll try not to drink any Guinness before that evening. Exactly. Well,
good.
And
hopefully, we'll see a lot of the people watching
right
now.
Incentivized. It's going to be a gathering of the clans. It's going
to
be really.
And what
exciting.
Must they do,
you,
James?
You don't
if they want
to
buy
because
tickets.
You feel sorry for me. You should come because.
What do they do to buy tickets?
I imagine that Ben will probably put the detail.
They're floating up on the screen as we speak.
Tickets on James's social media. It says
there's a little thing at the top of the screen here as well. I'm sure you can click on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing we should be doing. We should be directing people to click on things.
Definitely.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go and cook.
Plant some potatoes. Yeah. Everyone. Okay.
Oh, are you planting them in tubs or are you going to put them in the ground? So I want to grow potatoes in tubs.
5-inch trench.
All right. Okay. I've heard tubs is the way ahead, but a discussion for another day.
I don't know what we're going to do, Dick. That's the whole other, it's not even a rabbit hole, it's just kind of reality. Well, rabbit
potato hole.
But how are we going to survive the coming, which is imminent?
Yep.
That's much on my mind.
That's a cheery note to leave on.
That's for another time.
Okay.
Isn't
Look forward
it?
To that.
Happy Sunday, everyone. enjoy your food when you can, because it's going to be like a lot of more. you'll be trying to eat insects because that's all that's going to be left. Good. All right then.
Hooray!
Well, how do I stop this?
Happy Sunday, everyone.
Hooray!
Right. I'll see everyone on Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye.